I love Oreo cookies. And because I love them so much, I purposely do not buy them. Because there's no such thing as two or three cookies with me when they're in my house. I will eat an entire pack of Oreo cookies with a glass of milk if you put it in front of me, and not think twice about it, nor do I feel guilty about it either. When it comes to Oreo cookies, I will tell you, I have no self-control. So therefore, I abstain from them, and I might tempt myself maybe once or twice a year by buying them. I'm not talking double stuff or these waste of a Oreo cookie things they call thin Oreo cookies. That's not even right. That just should be a sin. If you make an Oreo cookie, you're making an Oreo cookie. I'm talking the original recipe Oreo cookies. But when we think about self-control, we think about things sometimes like that in relation to kind of our countenance and how we are as individuals and what kind of control we have over things perhaps that we struggle with. But I think if we really think about the emotional aspect of what self-control is, it's tied to exactly that. Self-control is tied to our emotions. So tonight, when we think about self-control as we continue our one-word study tonight, and I made sure I spelled it right too. So I appreciate all my spell checkers last week. But as we look at self-control, I think if we can control our emotions, it better helps us as Christians concerning being in control of ourselves, especially when it comes to the temptations of life, or perhaps even the things that we struggle with from day to day as Christians, because we all struggle with things. We all have our vices, so to speak, concerning those issues, whether it's anger or anxiety or any of the plethora of other things out there that help us, or rather that hinder us and as we go through struggles in life, as we're trying to control those things that we struggle with in our life as Christians. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, from the heart comes the emotions, basically which affects all aspects of our life. And that's exactly right. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs tonight, we're going to spend a lot of time there because I think we can find a lot of wisdom within the pages of the book of Proverbs that Solomon is giving to us. And when we think about emotions, we can poison the well with evil thoughts or we can sweeten it with righteous ideals, as Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. When we think about controlling ourselves and our emotions, it really affects our outlook on our lives. And how we affect change in our lives really comes from how we affect our emotions. You see, our emotions have to be controlled because if they're not, those emotions then control our lives. And if we don't put those things in check, we also sin in return. So that's what we want to talk about for a few moments tonight. One of the things we have to understand, and Proverbs 3 tells us this, is that we have to trust in God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 to trust in God and lean not on our own understanding. What does that mean? That we don't know anything or understand anything? No, but it means that when it comes to trying times and when it comes to controlling self, we've got to trust in God to deliver us and give us the answer to difficult problems of life. But it also comes in using God and His Word in relation to helping me get through the emotions of life perhaps that I'm struggling with. When we think about emotions, sometimes our emotions can get out of control. My emotions really get out of control with a bag of Oreo cookies. But when it comes to our life in general and how we walk in this world, sometimes our emotions can get the best of us, and when they get the best of us, we lose control of a situation. Right? You see, you're left vulnerable by attacks of others, as the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 25 and 28. We have to understand that God's Word is what guides us, and when we let our emotions get out of control, those emotions can misguide us. And we're going to look at several different emotions that we need to keep in check to better help us understand self-control tonight. But that's why, you know, when we think about everything isn't always the way that it appears. The world will twist things up and throw things in our path that we struggle with. If you think about emotions and how those things can get in the way, think about the Jews in Acts chapter 13. Here Paul is preaching to the Gentiles. The Jews are really upset over this situation because they see the reactions of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are excited over the fact they're getting to hear the gospel. They get to be a part of this. Before, they were always on the outside looking in to the picture concerning what the Jews had with the covenant of God. But now they have a chance and they're excited about this. And when you think about what it says in Acts chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, it says that their emotions basically and their response is what led them away from the truth. They were so angry and envious and anxious over the fact that Paul was preaching to the Gentiles and not to the Jews. And because of that, their emotions got the better of them and it caused them not to be able to hear the truth of the gospel. And sometimes our emotions can be so tied up in the everyday life that we live that they cause us to stumble and fall in our walk for Christ. And there's not a person in here that hasn't experienced these emotions that we're going to talk about tonight and that hasn't struggled with any of these emotions tonight. It doesn't mean that you're weak individually. It just means you're human and you struggle, but it means that we also need to understand who we need to lean upon, as the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3. That we lean upon God and trust not in our own understanding of how we're supposed to walk in this world. Because if we trust God to help His Word to lead us, it better helps us focus our attention to our emotions and to keep those emotions in check. Proverbs 29 and verse 11 tells us it's foolish to vent our feelings. Now, in relation to what the proverb writer is talking there, it's simply letting our emotions to get the best of us. So when we think about emotions, let's talk about some dangerous emotions tonight. The first emotion that we understand to be dangerous is probably something that we've all dealt with, right? Anger is something that we all struggle with. Even the Bible talks about anger. Let not the sun set upon anger in relation to what the Bible tells us. But let me give you the definition of anger concerning what Webster says. Anger is a fiery resentment over mistreatment, whether real, exaggerated, or imagined. Now, we understand that sometimes our anger will get the better of us. The problem is, as the Bible tells us, it doesn't lead to righteousness. Now we think about Jesus getting angry in the temple concerning the money changers because that was righteous anger. That was vindicated concerning what they were doing in defiling God and His temple. But at the same time, Jesus also used it as a teaching moment. Now when we think about anger in relation to self-control, the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 12 and verse 16 that a fool exercises no control over his anger. It's interesting that the Proverbs writer calls those who get angry fools. Now, raise your hand if you like to be called a fool. Nobody? No takers, right? Of course we don't. But in relation to the way the Bible views those who get angry over nothing are considered to be foolish because they're losing control of their emotions. And when we lose control of our emotions, as the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 14:29, we make a fool of ourselves. And that situation then gets out of control. When we get angry many times, again, the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs chapter 30, it leads to fights or strifes, as it says in the King James Version. This isn't something that perhaps we want to do when we think about anger or getting angry over something. We don't want to cause strife or miscontent or malcontent or anything. But when we do that, there's no control over what is said. We've all been there, right? We said something perhaps in the moment of anger that we regretted. You shake your head like this. And you wish at that moment that you said it that you could take it back, right? Yes. Because we don't control the emotion of anger, then what happens is we lose control over self. So the Bible tells us also that it gets us into trouble repeatedly. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 19. The Proverbs writer says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." That is, a fool who lets his anger get the better of him will repeat the same thing over and over and over again. So when we think about this, what's the solution to anger? Well, the world says anger management, and perhaps at times that's probably something that can help. Some people have a lot of rage built up. Perhaps it's something they need to get counseling over, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But in relation to our anger controlling self, something that probably all of us struggle with, one thing is that the solution is to stay away from angry people, right? Anger is a learned trait. It's something that we pick up from other people, something perhaps that we've been around. Proverbs 22 verses 24 through 25 talks about this. But also to distinguish between important matters and small annoyances. That is, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. choose your battles, as my parents used to tell me all the time, over things of which I would get angry with, especially when it came to my little brother, that I would just get so mad, and Mom's like, this is not a big deal. Choose your battles. We do that with our children, don't we? Sometimes we let things slide, sometimes we don't. Some things that might make us angry, that is, we have to choose and pick those things that might be annoying to us, but also to slow down our response, as the Proverbs writer says, and look for a solution to the problem. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. And that's sometimes the easiest thing for us to do, is to take a step back and look at the situation as a whole, right? But what about envy? Envy is also another dangerous emotion. And this is really prevalent in today's society. We envy other people's cars, their houses, their jobs, their status in life, their education. Whatever the case is, there's a plethora of things that we can be envious over because they have perhaps what we want. Here's what Webster says. Displeasure at another's good fortune, thinking it should belong to you and not to them. That's exactly the definition of what the Bible says too. The problem is, it destroys the person from the inside, because envy will eventually lead to wrath, and it'll eventually lead to anger also. The Proverbs writer says that it destroys us completely, Proverbs 13, 14 and verse 30. It causes us to harm other people, as Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 15, because we don't have the best interest of others in mind when we think about envy, because we want what they have, not thinking about them individually. James chapter 3 says that it promotes evil, but also the classic example that we think about when it comes to envy is Cain and Abel, right? 1 John 3 and verse 16, go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Envy is what caused the problem there. So, if we don't control the idea of what envy is, then it becomes who we are and it engulfs us and it takes us over, then we have no control over that. There's nothing wrong with wanting things in life. I'm not saying that. But when we use it to the point that it basically takes over who we are because that's all we can think about, and we actually get angry because somebody else is happy, oh, brethren, how many times I've seen that destroy somebody's soul. Literally tear them apart because they've had so much envy and hatred for another person. All because that person was perhaps more successful than them. I know of one particular brother that was mad at another brother because of his education and his status. But I simply told him, I said, that brother has worked for it. I said, do you think he simply got those degrees by his good looks? No. He got them because he put in the effort and the elbow grease is why he had those. I said, if you want them, then go earn them. But don't be envy over the fact that somebody has put in the time and effort to earn something themselves. Brethren, that's ridiculous and it's sinful. Well, what's the solution then when we think about envy? Well, focus on serving God. Proverbs 23, verses 17 through 18. Let not thine own heart envy sinners. If someone, because of their evil, doesn't deserve something, one thing we can always know is that God will handle it in the end. Right? Psalm 37, verses 1 through 3. God will take care of the righteous as well as the sinners also. But also, we have to esteem others above ourselves. It's okay for people to be more successful than us. It's okay for people to have more things, perhaps, than we have. But brethren, if we've got God, then we're the richest people in the world. And if we'll focus on that and not worry about what everybody else has, that needs to be the center of our attention, to always keep our eye on the cross. And when we do that, we don't worry about silly matters in life concerning what people have, because guess what? I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You cannot take it with you when you die. It's great to work hard and have possessions, but at the same time, don't let those things become our idols either, and that we might not envy those things. Another one, and sometimes we have to understand that there are a lot of people that struggle with this, is arrogance. This is a self-inflated, basically, feeling of self-importance, is what Webster says. Now, have you ever dealt with an arrogant person? Been there, done that, right? Better than you, know more than you, got the T-shirt. How difficult is it to deal with people that are arrogant? Nor do you want to be around people that are arrogant. The problem is you don't listen to others and you get conflicts, as Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 13:10. The Proverbs writer also says in Proverbs 16 and verse 18 that it's destructive, right? That it can also make us fall when it comes in serving God. But it's also sinful, Proverbs 21 and verse 14. So what's the solution to that? Easier said than done, humility. being humble in relation to who we are as God's children. It's really easy to elevate self in today's society to make ourselves stand out. But when you think about being humble, Proverbs 11 and verse 2 says that those that are humble learn. Those that are humble keep quiet. Those that are humble listen. You see, when we see ourselves as God does, then we lose our pride, Romans 12 and verse 3. And that's what we need to think about. Ultimately, who's viewing us is God Himself. And when we lift ourselves up with pride, pride goeth what? Pride makes us fall. So when we think about dangerous emotions, arrogance is certainly one of those. Now here's a dangerous emotion that I struggle with sometimes in relation to what I say. And let me give you case in point. Impulsiveness. I love fried okra. Okay? I'm from the South. Fried okra is like vitamins in the South. Well, my wife decided she was going to do something nice for her husband one night and decided to make me fried okra. And as I was standing there watching my wife make this fried okra, I thought to myself, that doesn't look right. Without thinking, before I spoke, because of what I thought and being impulsive, I said, and men, you can relate, that's not how Mama makes it. To which she replied, you can call your mama then. And I immediately thought about Proverbs 15 and verse 28, to think before you speak. But it can also be destructive. Proverbs 13 and verse 3 says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. Sometimes we can be impulsive in life because the problem is, without thought, we lose what we have. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. We say things oftentimes that as soon as they come out, we regret them, don't we? Boy, I sure do wish I can have that moment back in time. Again, self-control. Because we're impulsive, we don't think before we speak. And we've all been there, we've all done that, we've all tasted our shoes many times because we put our foot in our mouths, because we don't slow down before we react. Because we're simply saying what a lot of times, and just as the Proverbs writer says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. So to not be impulsive, the solution to that is think about what you're doing, understand what you're doing, look where it leads, and guard your thoughts and to guard your words. And I understand, believe me, it's easier said than done. It comes with patience, it comes with time, and it comes with training. Training simply means that we slow down and think before we speak. Proverbs 15 and verse 28. But I think here's another emotion probably many people struggle with. And sometimes we don't realize exactly what this can do to us when it comes to self-control as God's children, and that's anxiety. When you think about anxiety as a whole, it simply means uneasiness caused by fear or misfortune. Well, why do we fear things? Is it the fear of the unknown? Is it the fear of perhaps something that's happening in our life? The problem is that many times anxiety can lead to depression. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs chapter 12, but it can also destroy our health at the same time. Sometimes we worry even over things that don't even come to fruition, don't we? Yeah, we do. Sometimes we just worry to simply worry. But I think the solution is when you think about anxiety as a whole concerning our emotions, the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 15 is that we've got to make the choice to be happy and not be concerned over those things and put our trust in God. But also we've got to cultivate a life with our pleasant friends who give good advice, Proverbs 16 and verse 24. But also to trust in God, Proverbs 16, 20, and to have a hope in who God is, Psalms 42 and verse 11. Now I know they're all things sometimes we struggle with in life concerning our emotions and sometimes losing self-control. But when we think about controlling our lives as God would have us to do, we've got to lean upon Him for guidance in these things. And we find that in the Word of God. And I understand it's easier said than done. That's called living life. Many times we go back and look through the annals of our life concerning the history and we wish we would have done things different. We realize perhaps we said something we shouldn't have said, thought something we shouldn't have thought, or done something we shouldn't have done. But in relation to what we learn from those things, Paul even talks about forgetting our past. The only way that we can move forward in life for God is to keep our eyes on the cross of Calvary. If we focus our eyes upon those things, it helps us to be better Christians today. So The solution to uncontrolled emotions, have a respect for God, to be able to also listen to correction. It's okay for people to correct us, brethren, especially when it comes to our spouses, if they're trying to help us to get to heaven. That's okay. To take correction, right? Correction is a good thing if it's going to save my soul. But also to cultivate godly wisdom. Proverbs, just read Proverbs chapter 3. All those 26 verses there help us to cultivate that wisdom, but also to lean on God and not on our own understanding. That helps us to better control who we are as God's children. I don't have all the answers. God does, though. And God tells us exactly what we must do to cultivate self-control and to be better children of God. Doesn't mean you're not going to fall from time to time. Doesn't mean you're not going to get angry or say something you regret. All those things are going to happen. But if we can lean upon who God is for us and what He wants us to be, it helps us to better be better Christians and disciples in the future. If you have any trouble with any of those emotions tonight, as a child of God, the good thing is that you can fix those tonight. Maybe you said something that you shouldn't have said, thought something that you shouldn't have thought, or even did something that you maybe regretted that you even thought about doing. If that's the case, that's something you can fix tonight. We'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, but you'll be forgiven tonight. We want those things to be better for you. And if you're struggling with a particular emotion that's causing you to sin, get help with it. Lean upon another brother or sister in Christ. Lean upon yourself to help them guide you to be better so you don't make those same mistakes. And if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, if you don't know the hope that you can have in Christ, the Bible's very clear with that too. The hope that you can have is to have a peace that passes all understanding. To know that you can be saved, to know that as you go to bed tonight that you're a child of God and that you have eternity waiting for you, but you've got to make that step. God has given the gift, you've got to accept it. And if you're willing to do that tonight, I encourage you to do that, to put on Christ in baptism, first repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in who Jesus Christ is, again, Matthew 10:32 and Romans 10:9-10, and to finally be baptized, to have all of your sins washed away, Acts 2:38. Are you ready to do those things tonight? Do you have control of self? Are you struggling with it? If we can help you in any way, please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.